The series is on spiritual formation. Like, how do you grow? We have said at our church that we're focused on three things the next 3 years. We want to be a safe house, a greenhouse, and a firehouse. And I've preached three messages on those the last 3 Sundays. When I preached on greenhouse, I started with the question, how do you grow? Like, how does a baby grow? How does a plant grow? How does a Christian grow? And I think many people can come up with some various answers on that, but we need to be intentional about that, and so that's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 months. One of the pieces of growth is this. Even with a physical plant, that plant can receive nutrients, but the plant actually has to do some things in order to receive those nutrients. It has to break the outer covering that's on the seed. It has to reach up towards the water. It has to position itself toward the sun. Likewise, with someone who claims to be a Christian, who is a Christian, I don't say claims to be a Christian, but who has accepted Christ, there are some things for you to do. It's not just the passive receiving of information. There's some things to do. And so I wanted to, at the very front of this message, give you some other opportunities of places that you can grow, of some fields where you can position yourself toward the sun to receive the nutrients. Because I've said this before, I'll continue to say this until my last breath. The Sunday morning sermon is not enough. It's not enough. So just simply receiving a Sunday morning sermon is not enough. It's not enough for you just to hear the sermon. There are other things for you to do. And so we have some other patches of ground, so to speak, where you can grow and receive nutrients. And so I'm going to have 4 individuals come and give you a little brief infomercial on the places where they have their plot of ground. Scott Berge's going to start, and then Eric Connors is going to come. My wife's going to come and talk about some women's Bible studies, and then Randy Sheetle's going to close us out. All right, Scott.
All right, so each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and I know that is not the most convenient time for some of you, which is totally understandable, but at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning, a group of us gather over here in room 132, Miss Buck's math room, and we are going through a series called They Walked with God. And we are doing Bible studies of various characters of Scripture, where we do a little bit of time talking about the background, who they are, and then we take some time talking about some lessons we can learn from them in application. Each lesson is a standalone, so if you can only make it once a month or every other week or whatever, it doesn't matter. Come when you can. When you can't, we understand. But typically we're done around 9:40 so we can get our coffee and cookies and so forth, so we don't want to deprive anybody of that. But it's a fun time, and we have plenty of room, so I encourage you to consider that if that's something that would be of interest.
Just a real quick question for clarification. There's a rumor that you guys have an all-you-can-eat scrapple bar over there for your class. Is that true?
It's called the Rob's Breakfast Bar.
right. All right. So, all right, Eric.
Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek Bible study. We meet over here in 132, just at the end there. And Rob and I team teach this, so we kind of take turns teaching. I really have enjoyed being in there just in the few months that I've been there. We've done Daniel, we've done Philippians, we're getting close to finishing up Nehemiah. So it's a book study, books of the Bible. The thing I enjoy about it is it's a small to medium-ish group. We're able to set up chairs in a circle. We teach the material, but there's really good time for other people to process, you know, what they're hearing from the Scripture, to give input, to discuss the passage. So if you would be interested in doing that, 7 o'clock in room 132.
We have a great ladies' Bible study group. Our previous Bible study last fall was Truth-Filled by Ruth Chow Simons, and we thoroughly enjoyed digging into that together. Our next ladies' Bible study is Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story by Angie Smith. We are so excited to begin this very soon. This will be a great study to bring a friend as well. We are offering this study at two different times, Wednesday mornings, from 10 to 11:30, beginning February 8th at Carla Connor's home, and then Thursday evenings from 7 to 8:30, beginning February 9th at Linda Jager's home. Both times are going to meet every other week. And you can sign up in the lobby, or you can also sign up on our Seasons of Grace Facebook page, where we have a sign-up genius with very easy instructions. You can order your book at lifeway.com. Please let me know if you would like us to order the book for you. We would be happy to do that. February is right around the corner, so don't wait to sign up.
All right, this is for all the men. We currently meet to do a book study every Saturday morning up at Dunkin' Donuts in Quakertown, the one that's in town on 313 Main Street there. Not the one that's on 309, it's 313. We meet from 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for 1 hour. We're currently doing a book called Deepening Your Prayer Life by Charles Stanley. We love to have you come out and join us.
I'm really proud of Randy for just saying the announcement and not talking anything about the Eagles. I mean, there's a lot of, that took a lot of, lot for him to do that. No, I wanted you to hear about these opportunities because these things are going on. And this, folks, I'm going to be pressing in for 3 months in how we grow. And these are opportunities, all right? And I'm going to be saying, and I don't want to create frustration. I don't want to do that. But when I say the Sunday morning sermon is not enough, then you may feel like, what am I supposed to do? Here are some other opportunities of things that you can do. And yes, it may mean some rearranging of schedule to do that, but it is for your growth. And so we wanted you to hear those things. Before I begin today, we have a short video that I'm going to show more than once that goes along with this study. All right? So if the guys can cue the video up, I think it's about a minute to 2 minutes long. It's going to introduce what we're talking about for the next 3 months.
There's so much we can learn about ourselves when we think about trees. Did you know that in Psalm 1, God says, "You shall be like a tree"? When we follow Jesus, it begins when we are like a tiny seed or a sapling, firmly planted and too weak to stand on its own. As we grow up in the truth, we send our roots down. They keep us fed and strong. But beware, becoming what God created us to be isn't always easy. They are bad forces that work against us, and it takes faith and discipline to get through them. But once you mature and discover your gifts, you grow fruit. Delicious fruit that you can share with everyone around you. And there's nothing more beautiful than watching how your life, which started out as a little seed, can multiply into the lives of others. This could be you, a majestic tree, going deep, growing wide, living tall, and bearing lots and lots of fruit.
I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 1. The announcement that Nancy had that she could not remember is that there are no community groups that meet this week, lunch and today and so forth. So if Nancy would ever care to forget other announcements in place of that, put laughter, we would be glad for that. That was a wonderful beginning to the service, so thank you for that. I also want to draw your attention to the bulletin you received on the way in, because it has a handout for what I'm talking about today. This full-page handout, if you would care to follow along, is the outline of what we're doing today. I've got a lot to plow through here today. This is our new series in talking about spiritual formation, like how you grow, how you are formed as a Christian. The title of the series is Cultivating the Christian Life, and that's what we're going to be using as our title for the next few months. I do want to point out that several months ago, in our work with the Center Consulting Group, there was a recommendation made to me that I contact a church in New Jersey that had this material. And several months ago, it just wasn't the time to do it, but as we came closer to what our three objectives were, safe house, greenhouse, and firehouse, I then pressed into just what is this, how can we use it? And so everything that I'm giving you has come from a church. The name of the church is Millington Baptist Church. The pastor there, I've talked with him. They actually worked with the center. That was kind of our touch point. And the pastor there that wrote this material, it's quite remarkable to me because there's so much material on the market. He wanted something that was very specific to what he was aiming at with spiritual formation that actually tied Sunday morning sermons down into community groups. And so that's exactly the model we have here. And as I perused the material, I felt like this is exactly what we need. And they've given us carte blanche to use any of the material, adjust it however we see fit to our ministry and everything. So these graphics, the bumper video, that has come from them, and we're very thankful. I just wanted to let you know that. We are going to talk a lot about trees. This is not just something to pluck out of the air because it's a good idea. I think God uses the imagery of trees. In Psalm 1:3, He compares us to a tree. All right, so this is throughout Scripture. So it's like saying, do you see that strong and beautiful tree? It's like God is saying, do you see a strong and beautiful tree? That is what your life could be like. That's what your life could be like, but it will take intentionality for that to happen. This is a three-month series. So let me begin the series by giving you this illustration. There's a tree that existed in ancient times called the date palm tree. It is a tree that was commonly featured on coins, and other archaeological discoveries had on it the date palm tree. The date palm tree comes from the Hebrew word Tamar, which is mentioned in Exodus 15 and associated with the city of Jericho in the book of Judges, and it's found among many places. It was found among many places in the Middle East. For 3,000 years, the date palm tree was a kind of tree that provided shelter, shade, medicine, and fruit to generations of people in Israel and all across the Middle East. But then the Roman army came. And the Roman army decimated so many of the places in the Middle East to do away with all Jewish way of life and literally made the date palm tree extinct. This was their strategy, to take away something that symbolized fruitfulness and provided to Jewish people. And so the date palm tree literally became extinct. It was no more. As we look around Christianity, I don't want to start on a downer, but I wonder if strong oak tree kind of Christians will become extinct. I mean, we could look back at previous generations of people that we knew, but it is possible, folks, that strong trees, strong Christians built God's way will become extinct if we do not practice, if we do not take hold of the biblical principles of how to grow our lives. Christians become frustrated with their own lack of progress. This is very, very common. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are new creations, and yet we struggle with the same sins over and over. I'm not berating. I'm saying we have all been there at one time or another. And we can't seem at times to get ourselves out of the rut. And yet we see these Bible promises and feel like they're so far away or they're merely fiction. Why is that? I think there is one reason that, I mean, I don't think there's only one reason, but I think personally there's one reason that this is the case. That the message that is central to Christianity, the gospel, is only being applied to the beginning of the Christian life. So the gospel is good news that Jesus died in my place, and if I accept Jesus alone to take the penalty of my sins, then I can have eternal life. And that's true, and praise God for the gospel. But unfortunately, for many Christians, it stops there. And from the point of their salvation, then it becomes sort of this collection of trying to do things to grow into a strong oak, but they have a very difficult time putting it together. Again, I don't want to guilt you in this, because I think the pulpit is one of the reasons that there is a problem here. We have not at times put together a broader message of how the gospel applies to all of life, not just the beginning of life. Could there be more to the gospel than entering into Christianity? Could there be more? A question that we have been taught to ask in the past when we're seeking to be a firehouse, seeking to be a witness, is, what would happen if you died tonight? Right? I mean, there are many gospel presentations that have that. What would happen if you died tonight? There's another question that I think is equally as important. What will happen if you don't die tonight? What are you going to do if you don't die tonight? What are you going to do about your Christianity if you don't die tonight and there is a long life in front of you? What's going to happen between now and when you do die? What difference will the gospel make in your life? How does the gospel impact your inner life? How does it impact your thought life? How does it impact your family? How you handle your finances, your emotions, your habits, your character, your integrity? Or is the gospel just about going to heaven, as important as that is? Could there be more? Writer, Christian thinker Richard Foster says this, and I really love this quote: heaven is not the goal, it is the destination. The goal is Christ formed in you. That's the goal. I think some of us live in a way that it's just like we're hoping to just make it through and get to the old glory land. Heaven is not the goal. It is Christ formed in you. We are hoping we are abiding in Christ, and we are hoping there is going to be fruit. So we don't cuss too much. We try to read our Bibles. We go to church, and we are hoping something is happening. What if, folks, you really could become a majestic tree? What if that really was possible? That is the theme of our spiritual formation series. That's the goal, is we get that tree in mind and we work towards that, trusting in God to do that. So how are you going to get the most out of this, right? Let me give you just some practical things. So this morning, you have in your bulletin that handout, that outline to follow. Next week, here's what you're going to receive when you come in. You're going to receive, there's a workbook, it's actually a thick book, but we're just going to break it up into chapters, and this is the introduction in chapter 1. You're going to get this when you come in. This can be put in a Bible, all right? You can take this with you. You can use this. We want you to use this. This is the same thing. Do you know what this is? It's for people 50 and older, right? This is for people who want a little larger print. And it's the exact same thing as this right here with the pages. When you see those of us walking around with this, don't you dare make fun. Don't you dare make fun. All right? So these will be handed out. These you can retrieve at the info center. All right? So We'll do it that way. Number two, way that you can participate is to join a small group, join a community group. Now, I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, so you're getting a lot on Sunday mornings, but this material is meant to complement. This is not exactly what I'm preaching on Sunday morning. It's meant to complement that. This material is best processed in the context of a small group. It is. And don't feel like, well, I can't do that because of my schedule, and so therefore I don't think I can commit to this. If you can't commit to a small group, then this would be best processed with another person. Get with another person to do this. It is not meant for you to do this alone. Okay, so be in some sort of small group. And then number three, in this material, each week at the end, there's a spiritual formation exercise. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to do the exercise. There's a spiritual formation exercise for you to evaluate your own spiritual growth. And they are very good and they're very helpful. We are trusting and hoping that God is going to speak to you directly and personally through this time together, throughout the entire thing, and breathe some fresh air into your own spiritual life if you've grown cold or dormant. All right? Many people experience this, especially this time of year. It just seems like, you know, it's just, I want to get myself going spiritually, and I don't know how. I don't know how to jumpstart my Christian life. This is a way that we believe, and we need to trust God to breathe fresh air into your own spirit. It's our prayer that anyone who's going through this material is going to feel the Spirit of God tugging on their heart, challenging you to grow, man. Challenging you to be looking at that majestic tree and saying, I want that. I'm headed towards that. All for God's glory. So each week we're going to look at some aspect of spiritual formation and we're going to ask ourselves the question, where is the Spirit of God asking me to grow? Now, you've got the handout in front of you. We've got five phases for what we're going to go over for the next 3 months. And here they are. We have the planted phase, getting planted. We have the rooted phase, the growing phase, the maturing phase, and the multiplying phase. At the end of this thing, you'll be able to go through these very, very quickly and be able to hopefully spit those back. Planted, rooted, growing, maturing, and multiplying. Before we get into that outline, let me briefly pray for us. Father, I want to pray today that your Spirit would work in our hearts. And I pray that as we begin this 3-month journey of looking at the Scripture, of listening to the Spirit, of responding, God, I pray that you would, when we're uncomfortable, come alongside and encourage us and challenge us. I pray that you would please help all to grow and no one to stay behind. I pray that you would bring people into your kingdom who are planted for the first time in the soil of the gospel, believing in Jesus, all the way through to looking toward multiplying and fruitfulness. So, Lord, we ask for your help. We cannot do this without you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Let's look first of all at planted. I'm giving you just a brief overview today. I think the best illustration in nature of planted with trees is the acorn. I mean, I think we've all been amazed, and every child that sees for the first time that from that acorn grows this humongous tree is astounded. And yet there has to be a beginning. There has to be a small beginning. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 13 about his kingdom using a similar analogy. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's even smaller than an acorn. Mustard seed is very, very small. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now remember what Jesus started with and who was listening to him when he said that. He's got 12 disciples. He's got 12 mustard seeds, very small. And yet these 12 little mustard seeds are going to literally blossom into a worldwide movement affecting billions of people, folks. There is no greater illustration of mustard seed to giant tree than those 12 men. This is what God does. This is the way God works. And so here's a lesson at the very start. We start small. We all start small. Just as human life begins small, so we start small. When we are saved, we all begin our journey as Christians, as spiritual infants. Now, we're not to stay that way. We are to start that way. We are not to stay that way, but we all start that way as fragile, as delicate, as vulnerable. Everybody starts that way. If you plant a seed or a tiny sapling, that thing can easily be pulled out, right? You can easily step on it and ruin it. Small. The process always starts small. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 17, another lesson from the seed. And this passage, God is using an allegory of trees to make a point about His people Israel and restoring them after exile. Notice the progression of what He talks about. Ezekiel 17, "Thus says the Lord God, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar, and birds of every kind will nest under it. They will nest in the shade of its branches." What I want to emphasize here in this passage is the second lesson in that planting is the work of God. Planting is God's work. God initiates that work. If you felt in the past a tug on your heart and you bowed your head and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it was because God was initiating that work in your heart. He was tugging on your heart. Amen. If you feel that tug on your heart today, and you don't know where you stand with God, but you have an interest. By the way, you're in a church today, man. You're in a church. You got to be here for some reason. You may think, I don't even know why I'm here. It could be that God brought you here, and that tug you feel on your heart is God initiating a work. And you may say to yourself, I don't ever see myself becoming a big strong tree because I've screwed my life up. Listen, the whole Bible is full of a whole bunch of screwed up lives that God initiated a work and turned into strong trees. So you don't have an excuse. But you feel the tug on your heart, folks. That is not the preacher getting kind of energized up here. It's the Spirit of God drawing you. Amen. That's what that is. So God is the one who initiates the work. Philippians 1:6, we've said it a ton of times. He who began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you. Friends, to be a Christian does not mean getting my life on track. It doesn't mean stopping smoking weed. It doesn't mean trying to get my life that was all messed up from here over to here. That's not what a Christian is. It is responding to the Spirit of God where you are and letting God take you where you are and plant you, no matter how messed up it looks like the planting is, and God can do something with your life. It's because of Jesus that you become a Christian, not because of your effort. Amen. Not because of cleaning yourself up. We're going to talk a lot more about the seed in the next two messages about the planted, but we need to move on to the rooted. To rooted. There are, I believe, 56 references to roots in the Bible. All of them are figurative. Roots are the things in our spiritual lives that are most basic and foundational and not seen. Listen to some of these passages talking about roots in the Bible. If the root is holy, the branches are too. And he also says that we are to be rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3:17. Colossians 2:7, the Colossians are complimented, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in the faith. Isaiah says in 2 Kings, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. And then Proverbs 12 and verse 3, the root of the righteous will not be moved. Here's another lesson, the second lesson. The strength of the tree is in the roots. The strength of the tree is not in the leaves. It's not in the branches. It's not in the trunk. The strength of the tree is in the roots. Our next door neighbors, as many of us around here, have a bunch of trees all around. Our next door neighbors, it's kind of a funny thing. 2 years in a row, both times at Christmas, I mean both times at Christmas, have had large trees, my neighbor's yard, that fell squarely and directly into our yard. Ned didn't hurt anything or do anything. It's just, I think he kind of felt like, oh man, I'm sorry. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's just falling into blank space there. And the first year, one of my kids, I won't say their name, but they had purchased a chainsaw. And you know, when you get a cool toy like that, you're looking to cut stuff down all over the place. And I'm like, no. And then when the neighbor's tree was like, yes, yeah, let's cut the neighbor's tree down. We did. We went out there. It was a lot of fun. There's something about cutting wood like that and smell of wood. But you can't stay firmly planted without strong roots, folks. You and I cannot stay firmly planted without strong roots. You know what? We only see the top part of us today. We only see that. All you see is me here today. You only see that. You have no idea what the roots are like in my life. None. Here's another thought. You can't go up without first going down. If you want strong branches, if you desire to be built up, if you want to bear strong fruit, much fruit, then you have to go down. And those roots, folks, have to go down deep. They have to go down deep. So let me just ask you personally. I'm not, again, I don't want to keep saying this, but I'm not asking to guilt you. I'm asking to offer an assessment for you. How are you doing with studying your Bible? I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about outside of here. Do you have a time that you're in your Bible? By the way, don't go out of here saying, hey, that guy just keeps browbeating us. I'm not browbeating you at all. Right? I mean, we are just asking assessment questions about ourselves. You may be interested to know that I spend most of my life in the Bible, but that doesn't guarantee me having strong roots. If I can just separate it this way, I don't like to do this, but that's my job. You know how many preachers have studied the Bible but have lived lives completely the opposite over here? You say, how can that possibly happen? Because we can make this our job. So don't think this is browbeating. I'm just asking you, how are you doing with having time in God's Word? How about praying regularly? Oh man, I'm in the trap. I pray every time I'm on 309. No, I'm talking about praying regularly. By the way, on our Wednesday Bible study, we have a time of prayer there. We have a time of prayer in community group. Listen, I get it. Some people are like, I don't want to be called on to pray. I'm not going to ever call on you to pray if you feel uncomfortable with that, but I'm going to at least challenge you a little bit. I'll say, hey, you know, when do you think you want to pray? I mean, we have small groups. We break up into small groups. There is no excuses around here to not be involved because somebody's going to just call you out or make you do something. I mean, we have the lowest tier of involvement here. You can come and you can sit and you can listen. But I guarantee you, as your roots grow down deep and you hear other people giving prayer requests, there's going to come a time where you're going to be like, hey, can I pray for this person? Because your heart is so burdened about that. Are you prioritizing your relationship with God in private? In private. I know you are here. This is the strength. It's the foundational stuff that will sustain you during difficult times. Planted, rooted, and number three, growing. Now let's talk about growing. Spiritual growth must be intentional. It's important that you have a growth plan. There's a guy that has written a lot about this. His name is Dallas Willard. In his book, The Great Omission, he says there's only two questions that a Christian needs to ask. Number one, what is your plan for discipleship? Another word for discipleship is spiritual formation. Another word for spiritual formation is just growth. What is your plan for growth? And number two, how is that going? Those two questions. There's a guy by the name of Robert Mulholland. Back when I was on sabbatical, his book was recommended to me, Invitation to a Journey, that he talks about spiritual formation this way. Spiritual formation is the process of being formed into the image of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of others. I like that. A simple way to understand is that you have an outer person and you have an inner person. You have both of those things. The outer you is being formed all the time. It's being formed by things that we do and how we process for better or for worse. And in a similar way, the inner you is being formed all the time. Thoughts, feelings, desires, habitual patterns, all of that is happening. It's all being shaped all the time, for better or for worse, all the time. So for a Christian, the idea here is to ask and invite the Holy Spirit to form your life. You want the Holy Spirit to do that. Another word for this, kind of a big Bible word, a theological word we want to put in here with this, is the Bible word sanctification. This is your sanctification. This is your growth. This kind of growth is not easy at all. It's not easy at all. There are forces at work against you in this whole process. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes, folks, it's not the devil at all. Remember years ago, those books, those Frank Peretti books, This Present Darkness? Oh, I devoured those things, man. It was so meaningful to me to think about this unseen world. But guess what? Some of the press in our lives that we struggle with isn't the devil at all. It's just our own flesh. Amen. It's just our own flesh. So what makes that doubly difficult is we're going into a world that isn't pressing Jesus upon us. It's pressing lots of other things on us. And so I've got things internally. I've got a world externally. And then I've got this foe that wants to completely bury God called Satan. And he touches on things in my life. This is not easy. This is why we've titled this series, Cultivating the Christian Life. It is grace-driven effort. We've talked about grace. We took 3 months over the summer to talk about grace. And we want to be a grace-driven church. But grace-driven is not passivity. This is grace-driven effort. Neglecting to water plants means withering. How many of you are bad at taking care of plants? Put your hands down. How many of you are like, you're not bragging or whatever. Maybe you are. You can brag here. How many of you are like good at taking care of indoor plants? Okay, awesome. All right, maybe that needs to be a small group. All right, the bad, get with the good and just figure it all out. You can't neglect to water plants and the plants still keep growing. We had those four Bible studies at the beginning. I mean, there are others that we end up having throughout the year and different things, and people do things one-on-one. People, this is a quote by D.A. Carson. This is a really, really good quote. He's a theologian. He writes commentaries and stuff. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. You are not going to gradually drift into those things. It is going to require grace-driven effort, and that's why this process needs to be intentional. You know, this time of year, I only laugh because I feel this pressing myself. This is the time of year where people sign up for gym memberships, right? And I know we've kind of beat this dead horse. You hear it all the time around the office and so forth. People sign up for gym memberships. And so what happens? What happens when you go to Planet Fitness in January? What happens when you go to the Y in January? What happens? What happens is, man, you're looking for a parking spot, and then you're hoping your favorite machine is available when you get in there. Because, man, everybody's jam-packing that thing. I'll give you a little hint. If you just wait 2 months, you will not have to look for a parking spot. You will not have to wait for your favorite machine. This is the way it is. This is a habitual thing in our lives that it requires effort in order to see the profit. The same is true of our spiritual lives. It requires grace-driven effort. This process is slow and arduous. There are lots of bumps in the road. There are plateaus. There are highs. There are lows. But we've got to keep cultivating. Some of us have described our Christian lives this way in the past. We think it's like a yo-yo. I'm up. I'm down. I'm up. I'm down. I promised to read my Bible, and I don't read my Bible. And there's lots of things. But what if you think about it this way? I love this image. It is like that. It feels like that at times. What if the yo-yo was in the hands of someone who was going up an escalator? That's exactly what's happening if you're following God. There are times you're not going to feel like anything's happening. I have said this so many times to people discouraged about their spiritual lives. Listen, you never see your hair grow. You never watch your fingernails grow. But you know it happens. At least some of you with the hair issue, you know it happens in other people, right? I just thought of that. Some of you are like, no, I don't see that happen. Right? But you know it happens, man. You are in the hands, the imagery is just so ridiculous, but you are in the hands of a holy God on an escalator, and you will grow. But you have to put in the grace-driven effort. We cultivate this growth in our lives. We know that God is the one who is growing in us the image of His Son. And He has got you in His hands. Don't we sing that song, or at least hear it sung? He's got the whole world, what? In His hands. So we can persevere. We can persevere. This work that's being done in you is powerful, and He promised He will complete it. He promised that. Sometimes the growth is slow and imperceptible in the moment, but over time, sure enough, look at that. There's a tree. There's a tree. So here's another thought. Spiritual growth is often slow and gradual. That's what it is, slow and gradual. You know, one of the implications of this is we need to be very patient with one another, right? We need to be very patient with one another. We are all, in this auditorium right here, you have all different levels of growth. There are some people that look more like oak trees. There are some saplings here. There are some people who haven't been planted yet. They're all over. And you know what can happen? You know what can happen, folks? Is some of the oak trees get frustrated with the saplings because they're not acting like oak trees. This whole imagery of planted and rooted and growing ought to help us to be able to be patient with one another. Amen. Very patient with one another. Please don't come to me and try to get saplings to be oak trees. Well, Pastor, you just need to preach on... Okay, well, maybe I need to preach on that, but maybe you need to be patient. I don't mean to be in your face about it, but sometimes we expect saplings to act like oak trees, and this takes time. We need more patience because spiritual growth happens slowly over time. You ever tried to hang a hammock on a small tree? We do that to people. We need somebody at church. We need them. We got to have this happen. We got to have this happen. Could you do this, please? Could you do this? And it's just hanging a hammock on a sapling. We have to be very careful how we manage even the programs and the responsibilities and the spiritual giftednesses of people here, lest we be putting too much weight on people too soon. Let's go on to maturing. We need to keep moving on. Maturing. This is God's ultimate object lesson. Is that we become a tree. So Psalm 1 in verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water. What is it? Why is it important to be planted by streams of water so there's continual sustenance? Can I just stop right here and say time out? Some of you are oak trees, but you haven't been growing in 10 years. Because you thought you were done. You've spent enough time. No, this process of growing, look, Christ formed in us isn't fully happening until we're in heaven. So there's never a time in anybody's life to move away from the stream of water and to stop growing. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. This is the child of God, being blessed in all things, using the vivid imagery of a healthy tree, flowing water, no withering, no fear of being uprooted. By the way, did you notice I didn't say no storms? Because some of you have equated like mature Christian growth with no problems. Can I just quickly say to there, just put a footnote on there and just say, read the book of Job. Amen. Read the book of Job. So some of you say, I'm going through a bunch of problems. I just feel like I'm not that strong tree. You may be stronger than you think if you've been practicing these things, if you've been looking to God, but it doesn't mean a life without problems. It means a life where you can weather those storms by trusting in a holy God. In the visible tree, this is where we find beauty and God's glory. That's what happens. We look at a tree and we're like, whoa, man, look at that tree. It is in the visible tree we find beauty and God's glory. God is trying to motivate us to avoid evil and to obey Him, and He uses this beautiful tree to motivate us in this regard. God does not say, follow me and I'll make you like a deer. It doesn't say, follow me and I'll make you like this little plant. He says, follow me and I'll make you like this mature tree. That's what he says. Who wouldn't want a life like that? The psalmist says in Psalm 1, you too can have that if you're faithful to attach yourself to God. You can have that. But there is another option. Psalm 1:4 says, not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. There is another path, folks. There's another path. You can't just default and assume this is going to happen. You have to choose. There's a second lesson from all of this. God's beauty can be abused and turned into pride. So just because you're a tree doesn't mean, hey man, I've got it. Everything's good. When we begin to follow the Lord more closely, there are some things that happen in that. There's things that happen. We see success in parenting. We see a more healthy marriage. We see financial stability. And what happens? Our tendency is to forget God and His glory and God's beauty at work in us. Pat ourselves on the back and we become prideful. This is what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4:30. He looked out over everything and he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Oh, what a bad guy. The reason he's there is because that's the heart we have. That's the kind of heart we have. So this beautiful tree of Nebuchadnezzar was cut down and taken away. Why? Because God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. So let's move on to that fifth and final category, multiplication. God wants to multiply growth in your life. He wants to overflow that into the lives of others. Amen. Psalm 1:3 says, it yields its fruit in its season. There's fruit from that. Every tree has a purpose. Trees are not just random things. Some trees give shade. Some trees give fruit. Some trees offer particular things for whether it's medicine or crafts or whatever. Trees are there to offer something. Every tree has a purpose. And so do you. Amen. You have a purpose. Don't even think if your tree falls down, nobody's going to matter. It doesn't even matter. Just chop it up and firewood and whatever. Every tree has a purpose. You do too. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's creation. You are God's tree for a purpose. And that means, folks, we have got to take this seriously. We've got to take this seriously. There's no greater regret than to die feeling you have largely wasted your life or squandered your purpose. And there is no greater joy at the end of your life to know you've lived with purpose. I love this thing that Francis Chan, the former pastor and author, has said. He wrote Crazy Love. He said that one of his biggest fears in life was not failure. It was succeeding at things that don't matter. Paul said in Acts 20, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. This was Paul's purpose, and he fulfilled it. By the way, it just occurred to me, when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking to a bunch of middle-aged adults only. I'm talking to teenagers in this room. I'm talking to children. This is a family Sunday. There's children in this room. You're like planted, man. You know, funny thing is that we see this principle of growth more exemplified sometimes in children than those of us who are adults. I mean, they hear a Bible truth and they're saying, I just need to obey Jesus and I need to try to read my Bible and I need to try to obey my parents. And they don't understand all the complexities of grace-driven effort, but they understand obedience and they just want Jesus to help them. Maybe some of us could learn from that. I want to suggest to you that there is a higher calling in your life, and that is bearing fruit for the glory of God. That is a high and lofty calling. Amen. How do you know what that work is? How do you know where you are in that process? Then you can start with spiritual formation. You can decide that. As best we know how, we are going to be putting that into your hands for you to be able to do that in a way that is helpful for you. And I guarantee you, folks, you take this home. You connect with God. Connect with your community group. Connect with another person. Do the spiritual formation. You do what you need to do. And you say, God, grow me. That God's going to do that, folks. God's going to do that. I want to conclude with the illustration of date palm seeds. There's an ending to this story that's really interesting. And I went back and I looked it up and did some fact-checking on this. And here, a number of years ago, there was at Masada, some of us have been to Masada, it's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, a bunch of caves there. It's very, very dry there. It's like desert-like conditions with a bunch of caves. They found a jar of date palm seeds. That jar sat in a drawer for a number of years. They found it in 1963. Somebody probably, you know, when you find stuff, you got to catalog it and test it and all that kind of stuff. But finally, after 40 years, there was a researcher, scientist, archaeologist, I don't know who it was, a woman who decided to plant a date palm seed. And you know what happened? It sprouted. It is on record, at least at that time, it was the oldest known seed to sprout. That power was still within that seed. You've got a greater power in you. Amen. What I'm saying, this is a great illustration. I think if Jesus were here, he loved physical illustrations, he would give this as an illustration. Because you got that. You say, oh, you don't understand. I did stuff. It's like it burned that bush up. You know, I screwed my life up. I mean, I don't mean to be like just broad brushing the thing, but man, I'm just looking at my Bible. I'm looking at a lot of screwed up people. That Jesus was willing to take their hand Jesus was willing to say, just follow me. I've had several of you ask me, probably the number one question that I've been asked over the last 2 years is not, have you eaten Scrapple? It's not, what do you think the Eagles are going to do? The number one question I've been asked over the last couple years, have you seen The Chosen TV series, movies? I've only seen a few of those. But you know, the people who have kind of dove into those things and watched those things, the impact on them is seeing these Bible characters come very, very close, even though we're wearing different clothes, but seeing these Bible characters come very, very close, and it almost seemed like my life could have a connection to that. And to that, I say amen. Because that's what I'm trying to do every single Sunday, is trying to take the Bible, trying to connect your life with the Bible and say, this is an ancient text that has modern relevance because Jesus is alive and the Spirit of God lives within you, and you have the power of that seed within your heart to grow you into an oak tree. But there are some things, bro, that you got to do. You say, well, I'm good as long as you, pastor, are doing that. And not enough. That is not enough. You think you know that. As long as you're preaching some hot messages, man, I'm going to be good. No, that's a piece of it. There's other stuff you got to do, bro. You say, well, I'm just kind of a shy person. Okay. Jesus can deal with all kinds of temperaments and various things like that. He can manage all of that. Nobody is on better ground than anybody else here. The people who are on the right ground are people who are on grace ground, and you're like, I want to look to Jesus. Help me to do it. They named that tree, by the way, that sprouted Methuselah. Named the tree Methuselah, the oldest known Christian in the Bible. Do you want this to be you? Do you want it? Maybe when we pray at the end, you're just like, I just don't know if that I want it. Don't tell me that. Just tell God that. Just say, God, I don't know that I want it. I don't even know if there's a desire there. Just tell God. Say, well, I'm embarrassed to tell God. Just tell him. Just tell him. Just say, I don't know if I want it. Others of you, just like, I want it, but I'm fearful I'm going to mess up. Well, then the problem is you got your eyes too much on yourself, not enough on Jesus, and he can deal with that. He can help you with that. No problem. No problem. Others of you, it's like, I've made that decision, but I need to get re-engaged. I need to get re-engaged. What if, folks, what if, listen, what if we had a whole church of people that did just that, that said, I want trees. I want to be a tree. I want to be a mature tree. I want to grow. I want to multiply fruit. What if we had a whole church of that? Think about 10 years from now. Think about 20 years from now. We're not all going to be here. But think about the mature trees that could be in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to do this work by the Holy Spirit, that Christ be formed in us. I pray that you would have people all across this auditorium to just simply take these notes each week, take these thoughts each week, connect with their Bibles, connect with a group, connect with others, and grow. Thank you, God, that you do not cut down broken trees or quench smoking wicks. And some people in here are broken and they're smoking wicks. They're depleted of resources. God, thank you that you, Jesus, are the kind of Savior that comes alongside and he can fan that smoking wick into a flame. Father, would you do that here and grow strong trees? We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.